Current state here on 90.5 WKAR. Around the world, aquaculture is one of the fastest growing food production systems. However, that's not the case in the U.S. or Michigan. Here, aquaculture remains a relatively small industry used to grow aquatic plants or produce fish for stocking. While Michigan's aquaculture industry is small, some see potential and believe that aquaculture could become an important industry in the state. However, there are some environmental concerns over expanding the practice here in Michigan. To learn more, current state's Emmanuel Berry spoke with Jim Diana, a director of the Michigan Sea Grant and a professor of fisheries and aquaculture at the University of Michigan.
Break it down for us. What is aquaculture? What are we talking about when we say aquaculture?
Well, aquaculture is the growing of some kind of an aquatic crop. It could be plants or animals. It could be all sorts of animals, including fish. And it could be growing throughout the entire life cycle, from rearing young in captivity all the way up to harvesting an adult. Or it could just be rearing a part of their life history, like rearing young animals and then stocking them out in the wild. All of that would be part of what we'd call aquaculture.
So globally, aquaculture is one of the fastest growing food commodities, but that's not necessarily the case in the United States. Why hasn't aquaculture picked up in the U.S.?
Well, for one, we don't really have a good history of it. If you go to Southeast Asia or Polynesia, you find efforts of aquaculture have continued for thousands of years. We've only been at it for a relatively short time, probably about 30 years. At least in a very intensive way. Secondly, I think that it's hard for many of the American producers to compete with foreign labor and limited costs that they have for aquaculture products. And then I think thirdly, there's been difficulties in just getting through all of the kinds of regulations and rules that we have to be able to establish facilities.
There are several different environmental concerns related to aquaculture. Could you take us deeper into some of the potential environmental impacts that, you know, the DEQ or the DNR might address?
One of our issues is people worry about things in aquaculture that they don't necessarily worry about equally in agriculture, and almost consider that aquaculture ought to be pure and clean, whereas agriculture obviously is going to have impacts as we grow food. So they're not necessarily even compared fairly. But, you know, for aquaculture, we run water through a system, so we use water. Most of that water is returned to natural waters, changed because it's gone through the animals and plants that live in the facility. So it can have higher levels of nutrients. It can have higher levels of solids that come from the feed and the fecal matter that the animals produce. Could be altered in temperature. And then beyond that, the animals might and plants might end up generating some kind of disease organisms that could be transferred to animals living wild. They might escape themselves and influence the community of the receiving waters. Those are probably the main impacts that the DNR or DEQ in Michigan would be concerned about related to aquaculture.
What does the Michigan aquaculture landscape look like anyway? What's the size of it? We said the U.S. is small. I imagine that it's similar in Michigan?
It's very small in Michigan, probably a total of maybe $5 million a year right now. Rainbow trout probably dominates the industry. There's also a sort of a nascent industry in producing marine shrimp. There's a lot of aquaculture that goes into things like bait fish and stock fish to stock out into natural systems rather than food. And actually, probably that's more of the aquaculture today than food production in the state of Michigan.
So right now you said it's about $5 million. What economic role could aquaculture play in Michigan?
Well, I work for Michigan Sea Grant, and Sea Grant commissioned a group to do a study on aquaculture and to come up with a strategic plan together with the aquaculture industry. Their strategic plan is proposing $1 billion annually by 2025. Now, that's pretty optimistic in most people's minds, but certainly it's not beyond what's happened in other countries and other places.
The DEQ is currently reviewing a request for a hatchery near Grayling to expand from producing 20,000 pounds of fish per year to eventually producing 300,000 pounds per year. And groups along the Asaba River are concerned about the fishery, you know, threatening the river's health. While I'm sure it's different in each case, this kind of brings up the broader policy question of how to safely expand aquaculture. What types of standards or practices should be developed to create an ecologically sensitive aquaculture practices in the state?
So there are pretty well-established best practices to deal with things like nutrients in the water that's discharged, water use, solids in the water that's discharged, control of disease, things of that sort. They differ for the kind of species grown. The example in Grayling, they're going to grow rainbow trout. The state is put into their permit application the idea that they can only get to a certain level of effluent in terms of phosphorus and total dissolved solids, which are the two parts they're regulating. They would need to monitor that regularly and obviously manage the system so they don't exceed those effluent guidelines. Additionally, the groups that are concerned about the Asaba River, and I should say that it's a good thing that there are groups that are interested in this and that they bring forth their concerns, because that's the best way for aquaculture to adjust to and consider those concerns. Anyway, they are worried about genetic impacts of released fish, and so as a result, they're going to use triploid trout that are not fertile, or at least the great majority of them are not fertile. And then, similarly, they're worried about disease, so they're using specific pathogen-free organisms that have been at least originally started in a very clean and disease-free environment. So those are the kinds of practices that are being regulated. In addition to that, if you're running an aquaculture firm, the lower the food conversion rate, the amount of food applied to get a certain amount of growth, the better the system is in terms of its impact on water quality and all of those things we just talked about. And that's something that's really more of the industry's case. It's also something that obviously the more food you feed to grow fish to a certain size, the more it costs you to grow them. So there's a big industry incentive at reducing feed input as well.
So with the Sea Grant, you guys have worked on this report looking at the potential for aquaculture in Michigan as an industry. I guess, what does that industry look like? What do you envision it looking like 10 years from now?
Well, the first step will be things like what just is happening in Grayling, where we might see taking over of formerly either not run well or not very productive facilities and expanding production. The advantage of that is obviously the structures are already there, and then there's the ability to just, the impact has already been there in some ways as well. The next step would be looking at probably three or four different kinds of aquaculture systems and trying to set up demonstrations and production methodologies for those. Those systems would probably include the raceway system for trout like Grayling, probably include the recirculating aquaculture systems indoors, which would be more focused on warmer water species that can't tolerate our winters, and then there is a proposal for cage culture in the Great Lakes and maybe inland waters as well, and that all three of those are probably important components of the future of aquaculture in Michigan. And that could occur both in rural settings, where there's a lot of opportunity right now, and also in urban settings like Detroit and Saginaw, where there's a real interest in trying to establish agriculture types of industries and use repurposing of either manufacturing or housing that's there.
How do you see aquaculture playing into the local food movement?
I think that the whole emphasis we have that the Michigan Aquaculture Association has done, the Michigan Department of Ag and Rural Development, and the DNR is to focus on increasing food production through aquaculture, because we're going to have 9 billion people in the world fairly soon, and we're estimating there's going to be a fairly significant protein shortage unless food production increases. And one of the places it can increase is in aquaculture, because, as you said earlier, it's the fastest growing food production system in the world right now. So it's going to focus on food production, and I think that it fits very well with the local food movement, because a lot of people are concerned about the quality of food that comes from, say, Chinese growing of tilapia or Thai growing of shrimp, both in terms of the food quality, you know, is it really handled well, and also in terms of the environmental impacts that occur there. We in the United States regulate those a lot more strictly, and so people would be a lot more, assured that they're getting a quality crop grown in a better way if it were grown locally. So I think that it fits very well to that system. And people also think about things like food miles, and obviously that makes a big difference in terms of it being grown here versus shipped over from China.
Jim Diana is the director of the Michigan Sea Grant College Program. He is also a professor of fisheries and aquaculture at U of M School of Natural Resources and the Environment. Jim, thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you very much.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership. For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.